Time for the Israel Report, and bringing it to us today is Professor Eitan Gilboa. Prof, thank you for being with me on Chai FM.
Yes, happy to be with you again.
So, Prof, I want to start with a headline, a brand new headline being published in the Times of Israel. I think it's been up for about a minute, and it is this. It says, "Resolving a stalemate, Netanyahu and Haredi parties set to settle on October the 20th election date." What has been the behind-the-scenes issues in arriving at this conclusion?
Netanyahu wants his government to continue as long as possible. There has been much criticism about his approach because the only way he can do it is by making concessions to the Haredi parties, and the concessions are huge in all kinds of legislation that would benefit the Haredi community, and it doesn't make any sense for him just to get a few more weeks, because the Haredi wanted, like, September 15, they wanted elections to be held close to the high holidays. They think is an excellent opportunity to push for Haredi voters to vote. Netanyahu wants to prolong it as much as possible. He is running the risk of getting the opposition to define him more precisely as the head of the October 7 government, the failed October 7 government, because it's going to be held in October. A little while after October 7th. So I don't understand this behavior other than his determination to show that this particular government, of all of his governments, are running the entire period permitted by the law. And the payments he would be required to make, I don't think, worth it.
It's just remarkable to me. So he's basically being blackmailed, and he's agreeing to it, as I understand it. He's giving them what they want, which is out of sync with what his base wants. And I saw another interesting stat yesterday that 150,000 Israelis have left Israel over the past year and a half. It might be 2 years. I might be wrong. Does he not see what's happening under his watch?
I don't know. He might be living in his own world, which is completely divorced from the real world, or that he does understand what is happening, but no, he couldn't care less about it. His motivation in the last 2 years, I would say even more, is simply to survive. And anything else, including his own personal interests, his trial and family issues, determine his policy more than anything else. So I don't think we could find a good rational explanation for his behavior. And I must say, because I have been following the news in the last, say, 2 or 3 days, that he is under severe criticism from members of his own party. Among other things, he wanted to cancel the primaries and form the Likud list for the elections by himself. By a certain committee
What reasons did he give for wanting to do that? I'm interested in how he tried to sell that to the Israeli public.
I tell you what, because right now he has a number of members of the Knesset who are lunatic, and he is afraid of them. He does not; they are not enough attractive, And therefore, and there is a good chance that the more you are aggressive and vocal, the better are the chances for your election
You're talking about Tali
in the
Gottlieb.
primaries.
Are you talking about Tali
That's
Gottlieb,
right.
I would imagine, yeah.
Yes, the Tali Gottlieb and some others. So some people say that he made that idea of canceling the primaries only as a tool to receive permission to appoint like people by to appoint people he would make say three in the first 10, three in the second 10, and about, I don't know, another three in the third 10. And I think he is likely to get that. I don't think that the party would allow him to cancel the primaries because this would require changes of the party basic rules. So, but I think he is determined to appoint at least like eight members, some of them new, some of them not so new, that who would consider to be much more attractive and
Interesting.
receive, and so the least would receive more votes.
Interesting. I want to move on to another issue. The Times of Israel reporting the following. This is the title of the headline. Contradicting Trump and Vance, Iran says no plans for IAEA inspections and asserts sovereignty at Hormuz. Seems like they are adopting an incredibly strict negotiating stance, and it seems to me that it's working for them.
That's right. It's working very well for them. It shows the failure of American negotiators to reach an agreement that would be sufficiently detailed about the issues. So you write a few principles on a half a half 1.5 page. This is not serious. This is nonsense. You cannot negotiate like that. You cannot agree on anything. And we see this today when you cited. See, United States said Iran agreed to inspection, UN atomic agency inspection for permanently. So the Iranians responded, no, we did not make that kind of a commitment. And I don't know who is lying here. It could be that that Iran is lying as usual, but it's also possible that Trump leaves like Netanyahu in his own world. He's telling himself some stories, and these stories are misleading the public because there is tremendous criticism over Trump's handling of the negotiations and the kind of memorandum of understanding he reached with Iran. Critics are saying, oh, is this all that you were able to achieve after much cost of the war, after 40 days of war? This is what you were able to achieve. And the criticism comes from his own ranks as well. So I expect to see more contradicting interpretations of the kind we heard today in the future, simply because the negotiations were not conducted properly. You know, I've taught a course on negotiations, and I must tell you, my first year students would have done a better job.
Wow, an
Uh, this
indictment.
was this was a clumsy, this this has been a clumsy approach to negotiations.
Yeah, it's like a
Trump
lesson in what not to do.
Trump showed eagerness to sign an agreement no matter what, and he made all kinds of concessions like agreeing on a mechanism with Iran, the United States, Pakistan, Qatar, on the situation in Lebanon. This is crazy. And on the other hand, today, the United States is sponsoring another round of negotiations between the ambassadors of Israel and Lebanon in Washington,
yes,
on a peace agreement with Israel. So one hand strengthen Hezbollah, the other hand wants Israel and the Lebanese government to make a peace agreement. Doesn't make any sense.
And all the while, Israel, or at least the IDF, continues to hit Hezbollah in Lebanon.
Yes, simply because even Trump and Vance said that they don't want Israel to conduct any military operations in Beirut. But obviously, Israel keeps a certain territory inside South Lebanon. And there is some concern here that perhaps the next step would be for Iran to pressure the United States, to pressure Israel to withdraw without unconditionally. Israel says we would be happy to withdraw from South Lebanon. We have only one condition: Hezbollah has to disarm.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they don't disarm, it doesn't make any sense for Israel, given Hezbollah's vicious attacks on civilian towns and villages, intimidating children, women, the elderly, time and again. They fire at civilian targets all the time. So it doesn't make any sense that Israel would be required to withdraw without complete dismantling Hezbollah once and for all. And also Hezbollah. And also, I think Trump not only betrayed Israel on this issue,
but Lebanon,
he also betrayed,
the
Lebanese people and government, the legal government.
Professor Gilboa, we're going to leave it there this afternoon. As always, Toda Rabba Lecha. We really appreciate your input on Chai FM.